Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com.
Please do.
Whatever inspired you. Sean, what does inspire you?
What inspires me? I think thinking and learning inspire me. At the most simple, basic level.
You just send this because we are in the Academy channel?
We are in the Academy.
Or do you really mean it?
Yeah, no, I follow the theme of the channel. No, I have no mind
you,
in my
I
own.
I know you well enough. I know you mean it. And that's why we have a channel called the Academy.
Exactly. Yeah, so the Academy channel, as many know, is about helping folks understand that there is an opportunity in the field of cybersecurity and privacy and other tech-related ventures to help businesses grow securely and safely. And it just doesn't happen automatically that somebody finds a role in a company. And there are a gazillion of them nowadays. Mm-hmm. And not always the training and education to match. And that's where I think the community does a really good job of coming together and helping each other. And in many cases with open arms to share their own experiences and their own learnings, and in rare occasions in the form of a book that actually gets published. And today we have the honor of having two co-authors on a book talking about penetration testing, pen testers. And we have Phil Wiley and Kim Crawley. Thanks both of you for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. It's an honor.
Well, it's always a pleasure to see you in this case, but the people are not going to see us. They're listening to a podcast. And it's just exciting to know when people, and I don't know if you wrote more than one, but for me, thinking about you write a book, it's a big accomplishment. You had an idea, you put it on paper, you work on it, and then hopefully a lot of people will read it and become inspired to pursue maybe a career in this field. So my first thing is, first of all, I will let you guys introduce yourself for the people that don't know who you are. And then I'm gonna get my first question in. So let's start with you, Kim. A few words about yourself.
Okay. I have been writing and researching about pretty much all areas of cybersecurity for roughly the past decade now. I spent a lot of time contributing to corporate blogs like Sovo's Naked Security and Venafi's blog and BlackBerry Silence's Threat Vector blog. And I still contribute to AT&T Cybersecurity's blog. My career is starting to transition now more into writing books and doing OSINT for the most part.
And OSINT, for those that may not know, open source intelligence, right?
Yeah.
Which may or may not have a role to play in pen testing. We'll find out, perhaps. And Philip.
Yes, I got my start as a sysadmin back in 97. I worked as a sysadmin for 6 years. Got interested in cybersecurity and moved into security back in 2004. The first year and a half of my career was spent doing network security, and the company hired a CISO, and he came in and divided the group into to different sections. Everyone was doing network security. I get put into application security, and that's where I found out about pen testing. And when I got laid off from my job in 2012, I went to work consulting as a penetration tester, consulted for 5 years, been in the offensive security space for coming up on 9 years. And back in January of 2018, I started teaching pen testing at an ethical hacking course that I teach at Dallas College. So that really got me interested in teaching. And prior to that, I was mentoring people. So I was mentoring people on how to get into cybersecurity and do pen testing. And my first day of class lecture is where the idea for this book came from. I did a lecture first day of class to let people know an overview of pen testing, what pen testing is all about. And I had other professors at the college ask me to give talks for their classes. So this ended up turning into a conference talk in November of 2018, and gave the talk several times. And I was in the Tribe of Hackers Red Team book, and Wiley Publishing asked if I was interested in writing a book, and I was wanting to write a book on this subject.
So that alone, I guess, answered a lot of questions that I was going to ask.
Absolutely. But I think the one thing that I'd like to touch on with both of you is that, Philip, you're a co-host on The Uncommon Journey with Alyssa Miller and Chloe Mostaghi, and clearly you have a desire to uncover different unique paths into the various roles within the industry. And so is that mindset contributing to how you put the book together, how you put the talk together? Did you approach it from, as you were writing it, did you approach it from, I want to help people get into this, or is it, I want to describe the role, and then it turned into, this could be a guide to help people get into the role?
Yeah, the intent was to help people get into the role, because through mentoring and helping others get into pen testing, I have the experience of that in teaching as well as my own personal journey. So that was the whole intent of the book, because being able to present at conferences, you're only able to let so many people hear the story at that time. And it's kind of funny. I was on the CFP review board for B-Size DFW here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I remember they were saying, the person that coordinates the event said, if the talk's been given multiple times, we don't want to take it. And I told him, I said, just because that talk's been given 10 times, there's still a lot of people that hadn't heard that talk. So be able to write this book was a way to put it out to a lot more people. You know, Kim and I are very well known in the information security community, but there's a lot of people outside that community that doesn't know us or know this information. So this was a way to offer that information on a lot broader scale and throughout the world.
That's really cool. And that's actually my other question, which is for Kim, like how did you decide to actually embark into this specific project? I mean, I know you write about cybersecurity, you're a researcher, you're in a much more broader sense of the cybersecurity in what you do, but this is very specific. So why and what inspired you to jump on this with Philip?
April of this year, Phil asked me. We were friends on Twitter for quite some time, and I guess for a while he was asking me for tips about writing. And then he found that he had so many professional obligations, like his pawn school and the various talks that he gives and his full-time employment, and he's now working for Point Three. And of course, you know about the podcast he hosts and all that. So that's a lot of professional responsibilities to juggle. And so he felt like he couldn't finish the book on time on his own. So he asked me, and I was so honored. I didn't hesitate. I said yes immediately.
And in terms of the voice, and maybe after that you can comment on who you want to hear your voice in this, but how are you communicating this? Is it, I guess we talked about this earlier, Margaret, there's a lot of jargon that we use in the industry. Is that necessary to convey in this book so that people actually know what the jargon is, or are you trying to remove some of the jargon to help people understand and relate perhaps to the challenges associated with this role, but may not understand all of the all the technical terms.
People should learn the jargon. Like, the technical terminology exists for a reason. I believe James Burke, the Englishman who did all those connection specials and all that, once mentioned how different areas of specialization require certain jargon. Like, can you imagine a bunch of surgeons talking in language that, you know, that isn't medical? They wouldn't be able to properly describe what they're doing. But we wrote this book for newcomers, so the important thing is to define the terminology for them.
So did this bring me to the first idea? I mean, I'm assuming, Philip, that the fact that every time I see you posting and the passion that you have into educating people, I think it's incredible. I mean, I can see it from the way you write it, and knowing you as a person, I know that I'm not wrong. So,
and it's extremely appreciated.
Yeah,
well,
oh, absolutely.
You can see the response from people.
Yeah. So how these, let's say, and with the help of Kim, like how much this book is you? It's your experience, is how you got yourself into the business and how you're trying to deliver the same passion to your students and to the people that are going to read the book.
Yeah, the book come from a place of passion because, you know, I love to share with people. I love to teach, you know, because prior to teaching, I was mentoring, and this led to teaching. I was able to do that on a broader scale. So that's really the place from where it comes, trying to help people. My goal for this book was to help people. And so that's kind of my place where I come from. And then like Kim, I won't speak for her, but just knowing my experience, you know, she really loves the community and helps the community. So that's really, I think, the heart of this book is our love for the community and trying to help others. It's kind of interesting because I kind of came to this conclusion a few years ago. You know, as you get older, it's kind of hard. I've always been competitive. It's hard to be the best. I'm a competitive powerlifter. I used to compete in open division, and I would beat guys younger than me. But I'm to the point now, I realize that I've got to compete in my age group. And then as far as learning and trying to be the best as a pentester, it's hard to compete with new up-and-coming people. And there comes a time when, you know, people need coaches. And so I found out that I was a better coach and mentor probably than, you know, a technician. So this was a way for me to move into something else. And through that experience, I found out it's something I'm a lot more naturally talented with. I have patience to help people. And, you know, as people ask for mentoring, you know, I'll continue to help them as long as they need, no matter how simple the question seems to be. And one of the things I like to share too with people that's listening to this, if you're mentoring people, be patient with the people you mentor, because you think sometimes, my gosh, they could have Googled this. But sometimes you don't know the topic well enough to Google it. They can Google all day long, but if you don't know the right terminology, then it's hard to find those answers. So being patient, and that's the advice I would give to anyone that's mentoring or teaching, be patient with people. You know, they got to learn that terminology before they can research it.
And it makes me think of early days for me when I was an estimator for a construction company, and we didn't just have a conversation with the architect and say, this is what you intend to build. How do we actually build it? No, there was a blueprint. Right? The architects drew and defined what it should look like and all the rules and guidelines that they wanted you to follow as it got built. And so, Kim, maybe you can, the name of the book is The Pentester Blueprint. So I'm assuming it's a guide and a way to say, here's how you take the first step, the next step. Here are the things to avoid. Here, don't head down this path. You know, talk to us about the flow of the book. How does it come together, and how does it come as a blueprint?
Well, the book is based on Phil's talks of the same name, The Pentester Blueprint. So the book has the content that's in his talks, and then it expands upon it quite a bit. The blueprint in this book is partly having the hacker mindset and approaching penetration testing with the right kind of headspace. But then it's also largely about starting your career. The book is intended to be a starting point for your penetration testing career. So I think the blueprint is largely about the career path.
How does somebody decide to become a pen tester? Like, Philip, they come to your class. What inspired them to be to be part of this. What is going to be the inspiration to actually read this book? I mean, I personally never woke up in the morning and be like, hey, I wish I was a pen tester. But I'm sure other people get inspired about that. How?
I think the main thing is out of all this, you know, there's a lot of really cool areas of cybersecurity, and I don't think people spend enough time researching, but the pen testing world, you know, you're hacking, it's really sexy. It's kind of like a spy type thing, James Bond, you know, these things you see in the movies. So it sounds really cool, and that's what really attracts people to start with. And so that's really what's drawn people in. A lot of times people just want to learn how to hack just to be able to do it. Maybe not for bad reasons, even outside of professional, but it's just a skill that people are just kind of drawn to. So that's one of the things I'd say out of most of cybersecurity, it's probably one of the areas people are drawn to the most. And so when people come in, they're wanting to learn that. They're wanting to, I've had students come in with no experience and wanted to start out as pen testers, and they got their first job as pen testers. And sometimes it takes longer, or people are transitioning from other areas of cybersecurity or IT. But it's just one of those areas that's real sexy and interesting to people. And it's got a lot, probably one of the bigger draws of the different disciplines in cybersecurity.
I think Phil's absolutely right. I have Lee Brotherson and Amanda Berlin's Defensive Security Handbook that was published by O'Reilly a few years ago. And they said constantly, like, it's so much harder for us to attract people into blue teaming and defensive security than red teaming and offensive security. Because I think the idea of, you know, hacking stuff, but it's legal and it's for the good guys, does have a natural appeal to it. But I think both the blue team and the red team are equally important.
We often talk about the why, right? So clearly there's the personal why somebody would do this, but the why for the role. And in the book, do you get to the point of helping them understand what the value is of what they're doing is to a business or society? Do you get into any of that?
Yes. I think that from the book that would see why it's important and why it's important to test security from that perspective as an attacker.
One of my major contributions to the book was, I think it was the second chapter that went on about like a very quick cybersecurity 101. And it was very important for me when I wrote that to mention things like incident response, for instance, because even though as a pen tester or a red teamer, you will never be doing incident response in that role, you need to understand how your vulnerability findings are going to be used by the defensive security people. So I kind of described the basics as a whole so you can appreciate how your work fits into the big picture.
And you mentioned mindset earlier, and I don't know who wants to take this, but to think about something, you probably want to tell a story, right? To get people to resonate with it and then to embrace it and absorb it. So are there any stories in there that are life-driven, career-driven that you think stand out that you may want to share?
Yeah, Kim, you may want to take this one since I think some of the interviews that you did for the book may play
into
that.
That's another major contribution that I did. I interviewed a lot of people. I found some really great people in the industry, including Chris Kubeka and whatnot. And I think it's very important that readers get, if you can aggregate the experiences and the wisdom of a group of professionals, then you could get the best possible advice. And I love interviewing people because I did that for years, for like Tripwire's blog and lots of other corporate blogs. And actually, when I was interviewing pen testers, most of the questions were not about the pen testing itself, but the career path, how to get those jobs. So I really like, there are so many great books out there about pen testing, but this is the book to start off with as far as figuring out how to have a career is concerned.
All right. So that's interesting because I was associating the conversation again that Philip, you and Alyssa and Chloe have about the uncommon journey when you talk to people and how sometimes, most of the time, actually in this industry, I figured out that they come from the most, unexpected places. And how this connect with the people that decide to maybe become pen tester, but also I know you have a part of the book and how you, what Kim just said, how do you sell yourself? How do you find that job? It's not just, you don't do it just for yourself. You got to pay the bill. So what are the advice that are very relevant there without giving away the book, of course?
Yeah, I think as far as someone that wants to be a pen tester, if you have a curiosity, if you like puzzles and that sort of thing interests you, I think that's a good cue that maybe it's something you should look into. And the good thing about having a book is you can kind of read through the subject and see if it's something you're interested in, because not always do people want to invest a lot of money on a course if it's something they're not going to like. So be able to research ahead of time is a good way to do that. So if you're curious and interested in puzzles, breaking into things, you know, try to figure out how they work is a good way. Just to kind of give you my background on how I got interested, you know, it started back way when I was a kid. You know, when back in the 60s, my dad would take my toys, mechanical toys, and take them apart, and I would see him doing that. So I was curious about how things worked, and I would do the same thing. So that curiosity, I think, is ultimately what drew me into pen testing.
If you were to show me even 5 years ago that this is where my career would be now, I would hardly believe you. Like, I wasn't able, honestly, to make a living doing what I do until, like, roughly about, like, 4 or 5 years ago. When I was in my early 20s, I was a remote support agent, and I just got into that with some basic CompTIA certs. And I would say most, like maybe 60-70% of my tickets were malware related. So I spent lots of time every shift at work removing malware from lots of other Windows computers, and then sometimes having to fix the damage that malware caused. Like, I learned how to write Windows registry keys in my tech support role to fix the damage that the malware did. This was like in the 2000s. And I think that's how I really caught the cybersecurity bug. As far as writing is concerned, like, my dad was a novelist. He was also a screenwriter and various other things. So he raised me with the idea of writing for a living. And as much as I enjoy being a technician, really, like, research and writing is really where my heart is, and it's really what I'm best at doing. So I think tech support agents have a way harder job than what I have. But I think my destiny wasn't to do tech support or network admin or system admin for the rest of my career. It was to do writing and research. So when you're a teenager, you're in your 20s, you might not know where your career is going to be in your 30s or your 40s or your 50s even. And you just got to, like, take what opportunities come to you and focus on doing what you're good at.
Well, you're going to stay open to opportunity. I mean, a lot of us, the career brought us where we didn't think we were going to go. But also what I like about you, Kim, is that you were able to put together the writing, you know, that came from your dad to the cybersecurity experience that you had, and you made a profession out of that. So prop to you. But if we didn't have if we were not knowledgeable about the options, then how would you even make up your mind?
The other way that my dad kind of had a role in, you know, where my career is now as like a 36-year-old woman is, I was doing tech support for my dad when I was like 8 years old. This was like the Windows 3.0, Windows 3.1 days. And I was like fixing autoexec.bat for him and fixing his printer issues and whatnot.
Yeah, the original family tech support. Exactly.
Exactly. So my dad didn't know that and he's not alive anymore. I wish he would have lived to have seen the way my career is now. He died like 7 years ago, but he died just before my career took off. But in the dedications in the book, I thanked him for starting me on my path, even though he wasn't aware he was doing it most of the time. So he wasn't.
Yeah,
well, I think that's probably true for many of us, right? And even some of us may not know what triggered us or helped us along. We may not even recognize that until a certain point where we look back and go, oh yeah, that event or that person. And so, Philip, as we wrap up here, I think one of the things that Kim touched on is the research element. And you can't know everything without knowing stuff, right? So you have to find that information. I think another part of the book is you include a lot of resources, and therefore also with your stories and the blueprint itself, the book is a resource. So I think maybe a final thought from you on how you'd like people to, who are listening to this, to take the book and utilize it as a resource to take those first steps toward this career.
Yeah, I think for one, just going through the book to show what the job entails, how to get started, the prerequisite knowledge, the resources shared, the learning resources is a big help, because people I've mentored over the years, when I was getting started out, I didn't have someone to ask for learning resources. So it was all me, trial and error. So a lot of the resources listed in the book that came from my original presentation were companies I actually took training through. So I was able to vet these resources. So whenever you've got people to help you that's actually taken the courses before, it can save you a lot of time, because you can waste a lot of time and money taking different courses, because a lot of people put out, you know, learning content, and it may not be what fits you or may not be good content. So be able to save them the time to vet those resources so they're able to spend less time to learn those topics.
Yep. I think that if someone that is listening, and I hope many are interested in that side of the cybersecurity career in that specific niche, I think that they'll be inspired to read this book. And if you just woke up this morning like, damn it, I wish there was a pen tester blueprint book. Well, we got that. We got that. And where can they find it, Kim?
Pretty much anywhere that new books about computers are sold, both physical and digital, everywhere from Amazon and Barnes & Noble to Google Play Books to Apple Books. If it's a place where you can buy new books about computers, either physical or digital, chances are you can find our book there.
Perfect. The bottom line is that there is a place where you can find the real book. There is a place where you can find the digital version of it. And of course, in this podcast, we're going to put the link to Kim on LinkedIn and Twitter and all the social media where you are. Philip, same thing. Also, they can find you too on ITSP Magazine on the Uncommon Journey. And from here, I hope that everybody, it's a listing thirsted and curious to see what becoming a pen tester takes.
And a moment to congratulate you both on this achievement.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a lot of effort, a lot of work, and it's great to see that you succeeded with the publication, and thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.